Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Don't trust the local news reports. The fog isn't the dangerous thing that they're telling us. The fog is what's saving us. I may sound crazy, but you have to listen to me. The fog is helping us, not hurting. When the fog first rolled in, it seemed like the typical Washington State fog that we all have to deal with. Annoying, but just another part of life, especially in my small town. It was a bit on the thick side for this time of year, but you know, what can you do? So, we all went about our daily normal routine in the normal fog in our normal lives, and everything was normal. Until it wasn't. No one knew that there was anything going on until the short snippets on the news started to appear. And after the first few, it was like a dam broke and the flood of local news reports came flowing in. Man brutally attacks and kills wife and children, seemingly intoxicated. Man used paint, blood and feces mixture to repaint entire house. No motive yet on the senseless house party multiple murder. Surviving victims claim assailant, quote, wanted everyone's hair. Woman mutilated during meal at popular restaurant. Children report bus driver began to scream obscenities and laugh before crashing the bus. Woman arrested for painting side of popular structure with own feces. Horrific story of man who flayed own arm, wanted to see, quote, what was inside. Second man skinned himself, possibly inspired by the first. The news stories were endless, revealing more and more disgusting and depraved ongoings throughout my area. It took about a month, but one day, my TV, phone, and strangely even email account were blasted with an emergency alert. This is an emergency broadcast sent alongside the usual Health Alert Network update system from the CDC. We have reason to believe that the recent disturbing actions and behaviors are the result of exposure to the thick fog that has permeated the region. It is highly suggested that all individuals in the area avoid entering the fog as much as possible. It would be best if all residents would stay within their homes until further notice. Please stay tuned for upcoming information within the next few days. I was floored when I read the alert, but also somewhat confused. I had been exposed to the fog multiple times, but hadn't been affected in any way similar to the news reports. What exactly was going on? I spent the next few hours after receiving the alert talking to friends and family, just making sure everyone was okay and if they were feeling off at all. Every person that I talked to said that they were going to stay home for the next few days and ride out whatever this was. I was secretly glad that my mom was going to stay home throughout the fog, but it seemed strange that most of my friends would do the same. Maybe it was just me, but fog causing people to lose their minds? Really? It just seemed ridiculous. Quite literally unbelievable, as I definitely didn't believe what they were saying. The news stories continued to flood in with various reports of mental derangement, but there were no further notices from the government or CDC after nearly a week and a half. Some people were starting to get really scared, while others were going stir crazy being shut-ins and were defying the CDC suggestion to stay inside. After another week of nothing but horrific reports in online articles and on social media, the government released a new statement basically ordering people to not leave their homes under any circumstances. Some government people went door to door in hazmat suits, delivering food that, according to the attached note on my box, should last one occupant for 30 days. I tried to question the people who delivered my rations, as they called them, but they completely ignored me and continued on to the next house. Two nights later, I was up around midnight, scrolling through the awful stories in my feed, when a sudden slam rang out from near the front of my house. I got up from the kitchen table and slowly made my way towards the window next to the door. I slid the blinds open a few inches and immediately recoiled when a bloodied, growling woman slammed her body against the window for a second time. The woman's appearance was awful. Handfuls of her long brown hair were missing, revealing bloodied bald patches. Her face was full of bloody scratches, and her front teeth were chipped and broken. She snarled at me through the window as she threw her body against the window. I had no idea what was happening. Was she trying to get in? I rushed to my phone and dialed 911, only to receive a busy signal. I redialed and received the same sound. I muttered a quick, "Damn," and went back to the window, flipping the blinds open. "What are you doing?" I yelled through the glass as I made eye contact with her. The woman grunted and snarled, looking around wildly before thrusting herself into my window again. I couldn't let her break the glass, and I was fairly certain that I could defend myself if she attacked me. So, I slowly opened the front door and peeked out. "Lady, what the hell are you trying to do?" I asked loudly. She let out a throaty groan sound as she turned her gaze towards me and began to take a few steps in my direction. "Look, lady, I'm in no mood for any of this, and you need to go." She ignored my words and continued, walking towards me while reaching up and grabbing a fistful of her hair. It seemed like almost a nervous gesture until she began pulling hard. And I'll never forget the awful wet ripping sound as her arm fell to her side, still holding the handful of hair. "Don't come any closer. I don't want to hurt you," I yelled out as loudly and powerful as I could, even though at this point I was scared witless. The woman froze in her tracks, then, without a word, spun on her heel and ran down the street towards the thick, growing fog. I felt awful. "Wait," I yelled and ran after her. This woman obviously needed help. She was hurt, both physically and, obviously, emotionally, and I couldn't just let her run off into the night. I only had a brief hesitation on entering the supposed dangerous fog, but I could never forgive myself for not helping this person. And besides, I truly didn't believe what the government was saying, even though a very small twinge inside of me kept repeating, "It's dangerous," over and over. I was nearly down the street from my house, and the fog was incredibly thick. I could barely see 2 feet in front of me, so I was practically walking blind. "Excuse me, miss, are you okay?" I asked, continuing to cautiously walk forward. "I promise, I don't want to hurt you. I just want to help." After a few more steps, I heard a quiet sobbing sound coming from my left, so I did my best to walk in that direction. "Miss, are you there? I'm sorry that I scared you before. I really just want to help you." I continued to walk forward and utter reassurances until I could finally see her, crouched down, arms wrapped around her legs, and her head buried in her knees. "Hey, are you okay?" I asked softly, and she looked up at me with tears streaming down her face. "What have I done? Why did I do this to myself? What's going on?" "I'm not really sure, to be honest. How about you come back to my place so that we can get you cleaned up?" I extended my hand and she accepted. I don't really remember anything, except for bits of, "Oh God, why did I do that?" she sobbed. And I cautiously put one arm across her shoulders to comfort her. "It's okay. None of us have any idea what's going on here. It seems like you're okay for now, though. So let's just get back home, and then we'll talk about what's next, okay?" I led the woman through the practically blinding fog, relying mostly on my sense of familiarity to get back to my home. The fog thinned a bit as we made our way down the street, but I still couldn't make out our surroundings until we literally reached my front porch. "This way," I gestured, and the woman followed me up the lawn and through the front door. Once we were safely inside of my living room, I turned to the woman and pointed down the hall to the bathroom. "You can go take a shower down there, and I'll leave out some clothes that might fit outside the door. There's already towels in there." The woman smiled at me, almost appreciatively, and I saw a softness behind a dirty, bloodied appearance. "Thanks so much. My name is Rachel," she muttered, and I gave her a quick smile in response. "I'm Calvin. Go on and get yourself cleaned up while I make us some food." I waited until I heard the shower running before I moved into the kitchen and began to heat up a few cans of soup, keeping one ear towards the hallway, just in case. The woman was in need, but I wasn't yet ready to lower my guard around her. After about 10 minutes, the soup was cooling in their bowls on the kitchen table when Rachel made her way down the hallway. She looked much less deranged after the shower, with the blood removed and her wet hair covering most of the ripped out bald spots. She gave me a brief smile as she made her way to the table. "I can't remember the last time that I ate, but this smells amazing," she said, sinking down into one of the chairs. I took the seat across from her and tasted my own soup before sliding a bag of saltines towards her. "Look, Rachel, I know that this might be difficult, but I need you to tell me the last thing that you remember before." My voice trailed off from the question, and she picked up where I left off. "Before I went crazy and ripped half of my hair out?" I nodded briskly, and she continued. "The last real thing that I remember was sitting on my couch and watching TV in my apartment, which I think is maybe like a 20-minute walk from here. I'm not too sure. I mean, yeah, I remember a few bits and pieces. Like, after I pulled out the first handful of hair, I..." Her voice caught in her throat, and I started to reach my hand out to her. But she shook her head, so I pulled my hand back. Rachel took a deep breath and said, "I only went outside for a few minutes, just to try and call my cat. I know the news said to stay inside, but the fog was barely visible at my apartment, and Maya howls like a banshee if she can't go outside and play. Oh no, my cat." Tears filled her eyes briefly, and she shook her head, trying to clear them. "I'm sure your cat is okay," I tried to reassure her. "The news hasn't suggested anything about animals being affected by whatever this is." "I know, I just feel so helpless. I mean, look at me. Look at my hair. Look at my face. Why did I do this to myself? What happened to my teeth?" She began to almost hyperventilate, and I rose from my chair and quickly wrapped her in my arms. "It's okay, Rachel. It's really okay. None of us have any idea what's going on. It's going to be okay. We're safe here." I wish that I had more words to comfort her, but I was at a complete loss. How did she go from being a completely deranged woman to a sap-sobbing sane woman in my kitchen? Rachel stayed in my house for a few nights, but soon brought up returning to her own apartment. "I don't think that would be such a good idea," I began, but she interrupted me. "What could be worse than this?" she asked, gesturing towards the bald patches on her head and her broken front teeth. "Look, I'm really not trying to speculate anything here, but don't you find it a bit odd that something happened to you outside of your own apartment, but once you made your way here, further towards and into the fog, you were somehow fixed?" Rachel smiled at me softly and shook her head. "You know that sounds insane, right? If the fog was as dangerous as the CDC says, couldn't the air or water or just something else be just as dangerous?" I asked. "Okay, but then, by your assumption, you're saying that the government doesn't want us to be cured of whatever is happening?" she asked incredulously. "I don't know. I have no idea. All I'm saying is that you walked here, you were completely insane, and then I chased you into the fog, and you were suddenly cured." Rachel shook her head. "I don't know. I can't explain any of this, really, but... I don't know why, but I felt something akin to anger building up in my chest. Okay then, what about the CDC warning not to leave the house? Aren't you afraid to go back out there? She smiled at me and nodded, then shook her head. Look, the worst has already happened to me, so either I'm going to go insane again trying to get to my house, or I'm going to go insane here, wondering what's going on. There was nothing left for me to say after that. I had no choice but to watch sadly as she walked out of the door. Less than 2 hours after she left, I heard tires squealing onto the pavement outside of my house, followed by car doors slamming and shouting. Drift team right, Kale team left, go, I was able to make out as I crept to my window. I peeked through the blinds and saw two SWAT armored type vehicles parked in the middle of my street. The occupants of the vehicles, decked out in full military gear, split off into two groups and began heading down my street in opposite directions. The group headed in my direction went to the house three houses down from me. I heard gunfire and some shouting, but continued to peek through the blinds as they moved to the house two doors down. The guns fired again, but this time I was able to make out what they said. Success, moving on. The armor-wearing men made their way into my neighborhood house, and I dropped away from the window. I heard them breaking in the door, and then the shrill screaming of my neighbor, along with her children crying. Are you here to help us? We only went out once, I swear. We all stayed inside, just like they said. This was followed by gunfire and a shout of, failure, moving on. Before they had even exited my neighbor's house, I was already running towards the bathroom laundry basket where Rachel had left her bloody clothing. I quickly exchanged her old disgusting t-shirt for mine and then laid face down atop her discarded towels. When I heard the wood of my front door splinter and then burst, my only thoughts were of Rachel. I hope that she's safe somewhere. I hope that they don't find her. I heard and could feel the vibrations of the footsteps pounding down the hall, and I held my breath when they neared the bathroom. Body all clear, one voice said, and another shouted, success, moving on. The footsteps thudded away, and after a few moments and a few deep breaths, I allowed myself to sit up. It's only been a few hours since they raided my house, but now I'm seriously convinced. If your town is experiencing anything similar, or even if you just feel a little bit off, please go into the fog. I'm not sure if this is limited to my little town, but please just listen to me. The fog isn't hurting people. It's saving them.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.